This podcast is brought to you by Bird's Basement, the premier music dinner and supper club in Melbourne. Bird's Basement is open every night and offers you a wealth of entertainment options. To entertain your guests, whether corporate or family and friends, you can see all your favourite artists or discover new ones. Artists that you would normally see in concert halls or stadiums from afar, you can watch at Bird's Basement up close. It doesn't get more intimate than that. Experience it. Go to birdsbasement.com. Bird's Basement is part of the Jazz Corner of Melbourne. Relaxation upstairs, excitement downstairs. And now, please welcome your host, entrepreneur and jazz guitarist, Albert.
Good evening and welcome to the new season of the Bird's Basement Show. This is Albert. So we have finally our cameras totally functioning at the club. We've got some great HD cameras and we have a control room that's working, staff that's been trained and learning very fast, absorbing all those new skills. And so basically, the podcasting is also going to take place at Bird's Basement on the stage with the artists live in front of the audience. And we trialed that tonight with Virgil Donati. And of course, as you would expect, there were a few things that went wrong. But our sound engineer, Peter Camilleri, saved the day. And while we cannot hear the audience completely as we would have expected, we can actually hear what was going on the stage, and that's the main thing. So without any further ado, let's hear the recording we did tonight with Virgil Donati and Alex Machacek. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the greatest club in Australia, at least, I think. Yes, you agree? And we do the occasional podcast with the artists that perform at Bird's Basement, and that gives you a bit of an insight as to what makes those great musicians be the way they are and where they're coming from. And it's all good to come and see people play every night, but it's also very good to get to know who they are. And this week we've got a fantastic week with Virgil Donati and his band that comes from Los Angeles. Some players come from New York, some others come from Austria. And they all come together to pay tribute to a great legend who passed away just recently. And, of course, that's Alan Holdsworth. And all of them have played with Alan. And so they're going to be playing the music of Alan, which is we are going to be listening to that with a great emotion, I'm sure. And I'd like to invite to the stage Virgil Donati.
Good evening.
Good evening, Virgil. So Virgil has been living in the United States for 20 years in Los Angeles, but originally he's from this city, from Melbourne. And you obviously, everyone in the audience tonight knows who Virgil is, but for those in the wider world of podcasting, it would be good to remind them. So, in fact, to put the reputation of Virgil in context, about 5 years ago, I finished an album with Antonio Sanchez in New York, and we were sitting at dinner, and I asked Antonio who was his favorite drummer, who was he looking up to? And he said Virgil Donati, with no hesitation. So that's the reputation that Virgil has. But Virgil, can you give us a little shortcut from your childhood, because I know you were a prodigy in this city, and you were on the stage at a very early age. Can you tell us a couple of stories?
Well, the first story that comes to mind is the day my father took me out to purchase my first real drum kit after having put my foot through several toy drums. I wanted the real thing, and it was a month before my third birthday. So I still have vivid memory of going to a place somewhere in Melbourne and seeing these drums, a white drum kit, quite small, of course, and taking it home. And somehow reporters from the Sun Herald got a hold of the story, and they were there with a photographer and took a shot, and I was in the Sun Herald the next day, as it was known then.
As a 3 years old?
Yeah.
And this is only 55 years ago, something like that.
That's right, yeah.
So before social media, can you imagine today it would be all over?
And so that was one of the earliest stories behind the beginning of my drumming endeavors.
But I know you played when you were 6 years old in front of thousands of people with your father.
Yes, at Festival Hall.
Festival Hall, here you go.
Yeah.
You know, they're about to close that, you know, unfortunately.
So
hopefully they won't. We'll try to organize some protest.
We opened for a very famous Italian singer that was out visiting Australia. So it was obviously the Italian community was out in throngs and filled Festival Hall, and that was one of my early stadium gigs.
And were they giving you a wage at the time?
I think I did get some pocket money after that one. But no, I'm not sure. I can't remember that.
So how was your development? Because we see your kit. By the way, this is an amazing kit you have behind
this
here.
Is.
And you will need to tell us the whole story about this kit. But tell us the evolution. So you were playing with your father, and then you went into rock, right?
Well, before that, at 6 years of age, my father did not want me to continue playing drums. He thought it was just something that would keep me, enthralled and occupied for a little while, because I really wanted to drum. But he was a keyboard player. He wanted me to study piano. So hence, we compromised, and I did both. So he took me for piano lessons, drumming lessons, and therefore I started playing piano as well at that early age. And had a very stern Russian teacher, classical piano. I studied for quite a few years. And
so how did you reconcile classical and the drums?
Because well, it's all music, so it only enhanced my musicality. It mm-hmm. certainly did great things for my reading, sight reading capabilities, and I really enjoyed. Later on, I really appreciated the fact that he forced me to do it initially, and now it's probably my favorite instrument, and I enjoy sitting down and playing. And of course, I have the tools and the facility to be able to write music because of that.
And from there, your first experience into the fusion, were you listening to someone? How did you fall into
fusion? Oh, yeah. So I was just soaking up everything I could, all the genres. I was interested in everything. And growing up, I was playing in, you know, just club bands and then pop bands and rock. But I was always interested in jazz and fusion on the side. So I did as many gigs as I could in all the genres and kept really working hard to develop my skills to be able to play jazz and fusion.
Who are you looking up to?
Those days, yes. I mean, the bands that, when that whole fusion scene exploded in the 70s, you know, Mahavishnu and Return to Forever, Chick Corea, and Billy Cobham with Mahavishnu, and Steve Gadd with Chick Corea, and that was the era where I was really getting into.
So into those were the 70s?
Creative, yeah. And bought all the records, you know, used to go down here in MacKillop Lane, there was an import record store, I can't remember the name of it, but it was so exciting to go in and flip through all the vinyls and was a new release from, you know, Return to Forever.
And I remember for many, many years You had your Australian band and you were touring around Australia. You were having many, many gigs in Melbourne, which I attended, of course. You have to remember, Virgil had very long hair. Mm-hmm. You have to imagine him with his long hair. And so let's fast forward and let's go towards Alan Holdsworth. How did you meet Alan? And I know you have an enormous respect for him. And perhaps for some people that are listening to this podcast, you should tell us why.
Oh, yeah. Well, probably one of the most defining moments in my musical career when I received a call from him to work with him. You know, it was
You were already living in LA.
Yes, yeah. This is back in 2010 or 11, he started conversations with me about perhaps recording his next album and maybe touring. But prior to that, I first met him in 2006 when a band I was involved in, Planet X, asked him to play some tracks on our record, that the current record we were recording back then, and which he agreed to, played a few tracks. And so that's when we first met. And from there, a friendship, you know, ensued and then called me to work on his music. So I was really thrilled about that because he really was an idol of mine, you know, growing up.
And what
such
makes
an extraordinary musician.
What makes him such an important musician?
He just defined new territory, you know, with his style and skill and ability and sounds, and he just played like no one else. So he reinvented the guitar, basically, and inspired so many people.
You said to me yesterday that his contribution was probably as big as John Coltrane.
Oh yeah, I think so. You know, the I think he's in the company that he's in is Coltrane, Michael Brecker, Alan Holdsworth. You mentioned them all in the same breath. You know, you're talking about that caliber of musician.
And Alan was sharing his music. And he had a young guitarist living in Austria that you brought with you that was a companion of his and yeah. has played with him for years. And he's here with us this evening, and perhaps we should invite him to the stage to join this conversation.
Let's do that.
Let's do that. So that's Alex Machacek.
Yeah.
Hey, Alex.
Hey.
So, welcome to Australia.
Well, thank you.
Your first time here? No.
It's the first time, yeah.
First time. There's always a first time.
There's always a first time, yeah.
At Bird's Basement, we see a lot of first-timers.
And lots of Austrians, too.
Seven Austrians? Well, you know, we had a tribute to Joe Zawinul.
Oh, okay.
One of the greatest Austrians.
In the band.
but that was with his son put the tribute band together, and we had them last year. It was really fantastic. So tell us about you, firstly. Tell us how did you grow to be a musician, and perhaps tell us how you met Alan Holdsworth and what happened to that encounter.
Yeah, I grew up in Austria. I don't speak English. I just learned sentences that I repeat phonetically, and I judge it by your reaction if they're any good or not. So they're good, I can see that. Grew up, took guitar lessons, which obviously were classical guitar lessons, hated it, did it for 6 years, and then became the biggest Joe Pass fan because somebody gave me a Joe Pass record, and then from there on I discovered other guitar players, and amongst them Alan Holdsworth. And I clearly remember when I listened first to Alan, I did not know what was going on. I just thought, this is pure beauty. And then I liked it, and then I kind of tried to find out what he was doing. I still don't know what he was doing, but I'm a little bit closer, that tiny bit. And then, I don't know, at the age of 32, I moved to Los Angeles because I was sick of the cold in Austria and thought I want to move to a warm country, to California. And a mutual friend took me to Alan's birthday party. Said, yeah, you should come, you should meet Alan. And I thought, this is embarrassing. So I went there and I introduced myself as the designated driver of my friend and didn't mention that I'm a guitar player. And yeah, we had a good time and we stayed in touch, and then he found out I played guitar and a friendship became to be. And yeah, well, that's the very short version.
So how was he as a person to be with? Was he a funny guy?
Was he...
wonderful sense of humor. Sense of humor, yeah. He loved humor. In fact, on the tours, on the tour bus, he didn't really want to listen to music. He wanted to listen to comedy and Monty Python in particular. So, you know, but a lot of different comedians as well, but he just enjoyed humor and we always had a good laugh on the road.
So you had so many tours with him, right?
Yeah.
So you started playing with him in what year?
I think it was 2011.
Okay. And you were talking to him last year, I remember, several times to come here.
Yes.
To Birds.
That's
and
right.
And we nearly had him because
well,
he was
fact,
preparing his
papers. Well, in fact, was supposed to be the occasion that we would have come, you know. So
yeah.
I thought, well, we spoke and thought,
right.
Why not honor him and play his music and invite a wonderful guitarist who can actually take on that music and do it justice.
Alex, how do you feel filling the shoes of Alan tonight?
It's very difficult music. It's very difficult just to play those songs in general. And then it's a little bit weird because he is or was and still is such a hero of mine, and you can never do him justice. So I take it with a grain of salt. I just do my best, but I also know that it's...
But he also plays it as Alex Markacek, you know.
Yes.
We don't expect him to sound like Alan.
Not only that, but I believe that Alan really liked Alex as a guitarist.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes. In fact, often when I was working with Alan and he knew I was going to do some work with Alex Markacek, Alex Austrian L. We had British L and Austrian L.
Yeah.
So he referred to Alex as Austrian L. So he would always... have good things to say and pass on messages. And
so in any case, it's fantastic that you're doing a tribute. It's a great way to remember a musical hero.
Yeah.
Let's talk about you, Virgil, because you are a hero too. Let's not forget that. And looking at you, you're super healthy. So I hope that you're going to be continuing doing what you're doing for many, many years to come. So what is the future holding for you? How do you see the future?
Well, it's right now I still have the desire and the passion and the drive because, you know, music to be always at the cutting edge requires constant work, constant application. So until I have that you know, that motivation to do it, I will keep doing it and... you know, write music and make records and hopefully play with various bands. And
you know, for us musicians that are seeing you from the outside, you're an inspiration because we look at what you're doing and we think, where else can he go? You know, like, it's you've already done so much that we know in our lifetime we're never going to be able to get there. And so you keep on going. So... that's why I'm asking you,
but
where are you going?
But, you know, some will get there and are getting there and they will go beyond because, you know, as we know, that cliche, the only certain thing is change. And,
yes.
And the young players that are coming up now, what they're doing in their 20s and early and 30s is remarkable, you know, because they're getting inspiration now. You know, we're always pushing the envelope.
And you're a teacher as well, of course.
Yeah, so...
therefore, the musicians coming up playing like you... There is a reason. You know, you may not notice, but Virgil has invented the double pedal. And so all the drummers that play the double pedal around the world, they may not even know that Virgil is actually the guy who invented that.
You mean the technique?
The technique. So let's talk about your drum kit. Is that a good time to talk about
your
drum kit?
Sure, why not?
Because this is a monster
drum
kit.
It's a beautiful drum kit.
And so it's a purple one.
It came with me on United Airlines yesterday from LA. It was excess baggage.
We couldn't get one here like that, right?
Well, it was supposed to be on the shipment here. It's going to be my Australian kit, but it didn't make the shipment.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't care. I want to play it this week at Birds.
Okay.
So I put it on the plane. Yeah.
So what's the story? Where
it's a very exotic wood. It's called Purple Heart. So if you were to look inside the wood itself, this is a lacquer finish.
The actual tree is called Purple Heart?
It's the amaranth tree.
Amaranth,
and it's from South America. Mm-hmm. It's a rainforest tree. Uh-oh. It's one of the considered one of the hardest woods in the world. It's amongst the hardest woods, so it's very.
I'm saying, I hope we're not going to get demonstrations outside Bird's Basement.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's amazing when it's exposed. The wood, when they cut it, it's brown color like most wood, and yet when it's exposed to UV light, it changes colors and it turns into this really rich purple hue, which you guys can't see, but in the shells here. You can see it. It's beautiful wood, and the tone is just wonderful.
And you've got Zilchin's,
Sabian symbols, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. So tell us a little bit about the other players that are here with you.
Well, Steve Hunt on keyboard is probably the guy who's the closest and worked most with Alan. He was in his touring band in the 80s and 90s. Recorded on a lot of the great records, and he's from Texas originally, but lives in Boston. He'll be with us tonight on keyboards.
And on bass?
On bass, we have Evan Marion, who's this young, upwardly mobile New Yorker.
So Brooklyn. That's the guy you're dancing with.
Yeah, and he's a wonderful bass player and just wonderful tone and really... Great to have him. And he toured. He just got in there. He did the last little mini tour we did in California, literally, which ended 5 days before he passed away. So so Evan's with us tonight. So.
Great. So you are going to be playing here from tonight, every night until Sunday, and some nights twice a night. And for all of those who haven't had the chance to experience the Alan Holdsworth music or your music, that's a unique chance to do that in Melbourne.
Yeah, we're playing a wonderful selection of Alan's music tonight. Some of Alex Markachek's.
Wonderful selection of my compositions.
Fantastic. We are looking forward to that.
And, you know, I played all my material last year, so I'm only going to do one or two of mine. I wanted to do something different tonight. You know. So
great.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate and have a wonderful show.
Thank you, Albert and Bird's Basement.
Do you want to say, first of all, before we part, tell us your websites and your Twitter and everything else?
Well, if you purchase one of my CDs back there, there's so much social media. But it's usually...
Which one is your favorite one? Where can people actually go and know that when you answer, it's you answering, not someone else?
Probably Instagram.
Instagram.
At the Virgil Donati.
And yourself, Alex?
My Instagram is Alex Machacek himself, but I never answer anything because it's usually just stupid comments, and I have no time for this because I have to practice chords from Alan.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The producer of this show, her name is Maria Oshenkova. Sound engineer is Pete Camilleri.